So John Allen Muhammad, like Zacharias Moussaoui, will represent himself in court. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley joins us to talk now about self-representation. Jonathan Turley, an old saying has it that a doctor who treats himself has a fool for a patient. Jonathan Turley, does a defendant who defends himself have a fool for a lawyer?
Well, that's the general rule, and unfortunately it often proves to be the case. There are very few cases in history where self-represented defendants performed well. There are some notable exceptions to that in famous cases. The so-called red light bandit back a few decades did so well that the judge actually complimented him. But most defendants, particularly in the modern courtroom, simply don't have the training to deal with the complexities of criminal evidentiary rules and procedures.
A defendant typically sits silently in court and has the right not to testify. But one who defends himself, in this case Mr. Muhammad, gets to address the court every day. Does he, first of all, still retain the right not to testify, even though he's talking to the jurors all the time?
Yes. If you represent yourself, you do not waive your privilege against self-incrimination, and you do not waive your right to decline to testify. And there's advantages and disadvantages. Unfortunately for Mr. Muhammad, most of them are disadvantages.
What is the general principle of at what point a defendant does such a bad job of defending himself that a judge might say, you've had it, you really have to be represented by a lawyer because you're not getting the benefit of the Constitution at the rate you're going?
You're allowed to do great harm to yourself as long as he's deemed competent. He's allowed to all but end the case through his incompetence. There is one aspect of this, I suppose, that could work to Mr. Muhammad's benefit, and that is the evidence in this case is so damning that he could view this as all but over, and he's trying to find some way to reach the jury in a more personal way. They may find it difficult to view him as the culprit in this case, and they may find it more difficult to recommend the death penalty. But the downsides are so great. I mean, first of all, he's likely to miss many of the trial opportunities, which require not just knowledge but speed. I mean, it does you very little good if the officer comes out with some terribly prejudicial comment. I mean, the court will tell the jurors to ignore the comment, but we all know that that's not very likely. The other problem is on appeal. His best shot, frankly, will be appellate issues, legal issues, technical issues. He's likely to miss many of those, mm-hmm. fail to preserve them. And finally, there's one issue that he will most certainly never be able to make, and that is the ineffective representation of counsel. If you represent yourself, you can't turn around and say, I had a real moron for a lawyer if you're that moron.
You've described the advantages and disadvantages of one representing oneself in court. Was somebody obliged to spell that out to Mr. Muhammad before he made his decision?
Well, ultimately, the responsibility falls on the judge to inform the defendant of the perils of such a choice. And most judges will hammer that through and be quite blunt with the defendant, so that there's no question on appeal that this person knew of the perils and readily embraced them.
Does any unusual burden fall on the prosecutor when opposing somebody who's defending himself?
Well, this is a bloody nightmare for a prosecutor. For a prosecutor, you're left, as in the Zacharias Moussaoui case, with an unhinged individual who's going to continually make a circus of the courtroom. Muhammad is likely to be more stable and predictable, but it still causes endless problems. Many times these defendants do not know when to object. They often object at inappropriate times. But you don't have the same ability as a prosecutor to deal with it. If you've got a criminal defense attorney who's making ridiculous objections, the judge can threaten the attorney and say, I'll hold you in contempt mm-hmm. if you don't start behaving in a more professional way. Well, if you've got Muhammad, it's hard to imagine what the judge is going to threaten him with. He's facing multiple counts with a death penalty.
Disbarment is not much of a deterrent here.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to concentrate his mind much to say, we're going to report you to the bar, or we're going to hold you in contempt.
Jonathan Turley, thank you very much for talking
thank
with us
you.
Today. Jonathan Turley, professor of law at the George Washington University, spoke to us from Lubbock, Texas.